Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. Today, we come to you from the great state of New Jersey. There are two states. There's been a lot of focus on Virginia, but there are two states that have statewide elections coming up in about a week. And one is Virginia, and the other one is New Jersey. And today, we are going to get an update from Jerry Gibbs of the Capital Impact Group. Jerry founded the firm back in 2006 after a stint as assistant treasurer in the state of New Jersey, and he's been doing it ever since. He is well known in Jersey politics and in those circles. And today we're going to get an update on New Jersey politics, but primarily the New Jersey's the governor's race and some of the other races. So, Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim, for having me. Glad to be here.
There, as I mentioned, there's been a lot of focus on Virginia, but we also have a governor's race in New Jersey. Can you tell our listeners who's running and how the race is shaping up? We have, I think, 8 days to go at this point, so I think it's we're getting down to the wire.
Sure. So this election pits the incumbent governor Phil Murphy against his Republican opponent, Jack Cittarelli, former Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, who hails from kind of central Jersey, Somerset County, you know, which has its own interesting set of political dynamics happening. I'll touch on that more in a moment. But he was a former Assemblyman, fairly moderate, very popular. And he decided to jump into the race and challenge this governor who has been fairly popular. He ran as a progressive. His first several years in office, he's promoted and pushed a very progressive agenda, has been dealing with with the pandemic, which created kind of a double whammy for him. First, kind of the immediate health crisis that he was confronted with, that he had to kind of put some programs and procedures in place on the fly, and then kind of the economic calamity, which was kind of a lagging consequence of COVID in the early stages, where he took some moves, controversial moves in some people's eyes, to make sure that we righted the ship and that we made sure that we had the right fiscal plans and policies in place. So, we're down to the wire. New Jersey has started early voting on Saturday, which is new. There's been a rush of national figures that have kind of entered into the Garden State, including the president, who is here today, more so to tout his infrastructure package. But we had the former President Obama here on Saturday at a rally in Newark. We've had the First Lady, Dr. Joe Biden, was here. The Vice President, Kamala Harris, has been here. And a host of other surrogates have really been pouring into the state, touting another 4 years of Governor Murphy. On top of the governor's race, which in New Jersey is typically on an off year from kind of the national campaigns as well as Virginia, all of our legislators are up this year. So, which is unique. So we have all our assembly candidates and incumbents, as well as our state senators, are all running. So things are definitely interesting here. And very much coming down to the final couple days, the intensity is ratcheted up. It's palatable here, which is great.
And is the governor's, is it a 4-year term
It's a 4-year term. Okay. He's term limited. He can only run two terms consecutively. So he would be running for his second term here come November.
And you mentioned that there was some controversy or you know, he did some things to that he felt and to kind of right the state. What were my guess is those were tax increases.
Well, no, actually, it was a pretty significant borrowing. So we borrowed some money. The government, the federal government, provided kind of an avenue for states to utilize going into the debt market to secure some debt financing to cover what was, you know, calamitous shortfalls in state budgets, and particularly with towns and counties, right? So you had, you know, a situation in COVID where, you know, everyone was locked down for a good 4, 5, 6, 7 months, and things just ground to a halt. And I think, you know, the immediate economic consequence of that were, you know, town budgets, county budgets, just cratering, as well as the state budget having some significant shortfalls because of lack of economic activity. You know, you had businesses shut down. You know, we were fearful of woeful tax collections, and other indicators that were all at the time, you know, just kind of blinking, you know, alert. So in our fiscal budget, we had a deal with the legislature to borrow some money to help shore up some of our programs. And then unexpectedly, we had our first COVID stimulus package that then President Biden brought to the table that kind of was unexpected, right? We didn't know that going in. And then so that created an additional flow of dollars, right? So, you know, look, he caught some flack for that. I mean, you know, you never want to borrow dollars to pay operating expenses, but I think everyone could agree we were in a unique situation. You know, there's some arguments that said we really didn't need the money, because it turned out that we had better than expected tax collections. But, you know, we didn't know that at the time. You know, everything was kind of the great unknown. So he took some bold action and got it through and took some criticism. And if you look at all the polls here, he generally was rewarded for it. I mean, he's gotten pretty favorable marks for his COVID response. If anything, he got dinged on a little bit was kind of some slow responses to nursing homes, which, as you know, Jim, everyone was dealing with, early on with that part of it, just not being prepared to kind of mitigate those early casualties in the nursing home. So, and I think people generally forgave him there because he kind of righted the wrongs, you know, quickly and acknowledged the wrongs, more importantly.
And has he, two questions, has, and I know we can't, you know, polls and surveys are, you know, we don't have the confidence in them that we used to, but anyways, I was wondering how they're handicapping the race right now. And has, we all know that the president's favorability ratings have been falling. Has he been seeing any impact from that or the assembly or the state Senate Democrats in the state because of that?
Amongst the state legislature, we haven't seen any impact from the president's approval numbers. It's safe to say, you know, all politics is local in Jersey, and, you know, we're a big kind of home rule state. So depending on where you are in region, you know, there's some races that will be more contested than others. But, you know, because of, you know, the last round of redistricting, the way these districts are kind of drawn up, And then also the strength of some of the incumbents. I don't expect to see any significant changes as it relates to both houses, frankly. I think the number is going to stay about the same. We've had a couple, we've had one significant retirement. Our majority leader, Loretta Weinberg, has retired, but in her place will ascend Assemblyman Gordon Johnson, who will become a state senator with very little resistance, just from everything I've seen. I think as it relates to the gubernatorial race, you know, the polls, the last poll that was out that kind of caught people's attention was an Emerson poll, PIX 11, which is our local station here, had the lead shrinking down to 6 points. I think more seasoned folks like myself are really kind of looking to the Monmouth poll that's going to come out probably in the next couple of days. I'll pay attention to see what that says. The last time they were in the field, they had the governor up 13, and that was about 4 weeks ago. We'll see if there's any slippage there. I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, if there was some. You know, I think, you know, the governor's opponent's been on the air and it's been, you know, predominantly negative. And I think his name ID is starting to rise a little bit. Assemblyman Cittarelli's, which was very low up until recently. But, you know, we've had a couple debates now. People are kind of tuning in. It's after Labor Day. So, yeah, I expect there to be a little slippage. But I think given the built-in advantage that Democrats have in New Jersey and just given some key Senate races in some counties where the challenger has to pull up enormous pluralities to even be in the game. You know, I think, you know, most folks that watch this regularly think that, you know, there should be I won't say a comfortable win, but, you know, that the incumbent will win this race come the second.
And what's the legislature is Democratic. Is the Senate closer to Republicans and Democrats than the Assembly? What's the political makeup of the Senate?
Roughly, we have about an 8-seat advantage in the Senate. In the Assembly, it's about 12-seat plurality. I don't see it changing. There's not going to be any real flips here or there. In District 8, we have a senator who flipped from Republican to Democrat. That race seems like it might be a little, you know, folks are worried about that. So there may, you know, there could be a flip there. But I think that most of the incumbents are gonna win rather comfortably. I mean, there's not going to be enough of a movement to threaten the Democratic majority. We're pretty locked in the state legislature.
And so people are pleased with how the governor has managed the COVID crisis. You have a balanced budget situation, and the economy is what it is, as in everywhere else. Are there other issues that are kind of kicking around in New Jersey?
I think there's a general feeling that Jersey has fared better than most, right, coming out of this pandemic. You know, we were hit the hardest early, you know, had a significant impact. But I think for the most part, the governor gets pretty decent marks for his handling of the pandemic as it relates to mandates. You know, there was arguments, I think, on the fringes about, you know, the restricting of freedoms and things of that nature. But I think that, you know, he did a good job of managing expectations. The rollout of the vaccines went off fairly smoothly here. I mean, I think we were kind of held hostage by, you know, the availability of them, which I think every state was dealing with. But when we did get the vaccines, we got them out. I think he worked well with both Republicans and Democrats to make sure that, you know, messaging around being safe and following protocols were adhered to. The business community leaned in and made sure early on that that people were protecting themselves. Again, you have, you know, if there was any consternation, it was really around school kids. And an acknowledgement by everyone that, you know, that lost year of not having kind of, you know, the human interaction and kind of the remote learning was taking its toll on everybody, teachers, students, parents. So he, you know, the governor did push, you know, maybe even to some Democrats' consternation, the reopening of the schools a little sooner than anticipated. He's been pretty lockstep with the CDC guidance on these things. And in some areas, he's been a little ahead of them. But, you know, it's worked out. Our infection rate is low. You know, there's still a mask mandate when you're indoors, you know. But I think that, you know, the restrictions have been lessened as the infection rate has gone down here. It's acknowledged here that you know, he was the main catalyst behind that. He hasn't gotten a lot of hits on that. I think his challenger tried to hit him on nursing homes again. You know, I think early on it cost him maybe 2 or 3 points in the polls. But for the most part, people, I won't say they gave him a pass, but they understood, you know, the kind of the early misstep, but they also acknowledged that, you know, he moved quickly to make it right. So I think, you know, it hasn't stuck to him.
And Jerry, let's, some of the last, few minutes, let's hear about your firm and some of the issues you work on and some of your, coworkers.
Sure. We are, you know, we're based in Trenton. We are a small shop. It's my partner, Gene Mulroy, who's been in the lobbying space for, I know he's going to hate me for this, but, you know, well over 25 years, kind of cut his teeth at the big firms and went out on his own. And we met when I was working on a campaign in early 2000. And, you know, when I went inside to work in the treasurer's office, we just kind of stayed friends. And when I was looking to get out, you know, I always knew I kind of wanted to strike out on my own in this space. And, you know, we got together and the rest is history. We've been partners ever since. We're a bipartisan firm. We have relationships on both sides of the aisle. We feel like that is extremely important, even though, you know, Democrats kind of rule the roost, at least as it relates to the legislature. You know, we also think it's important to have relationships and to have synergy with the Republican Party. And we're proud of that. You know, we have two associates that work with us. We run the gamut from large corporations here in Jersey down to the small nonprofit. In terms of our clients. And we're primarily public affairs, but we also do a lot of business development. And that's part of my portfolio is a lot of business development, working with companies that are looking for work within the public sector as well as the private sector. And we work with a couple of developers as well, in addition to your run-of-the-mill, you know, lobbying public affairs work. So we're a little unique that way here in Jersey, where a lot of our shops is focused strictly on the lobbying and the advocacy directly with the state legislature.
Well, I have to say that when you I'm glad you mentioned Gene, because it was funny earlier when you were talking about you used the term we in talking about the Democrats, and I thought it was very funny because it's, you know, you're a Democrat and Democratic lobbyist. And for anyone listening, if you go to Capital Impact Group's website, it's a great website and a lot of information, and they have a list, and it is a very long list of clients. So it is incredibly impressive what you and Gene have built. And we very much appreciate the update on New Jersey. We will stay tuned and watch things on election day in, I guess, 8 days from today. And so, Jerry, thank you for coming by the show and giving us the update.
Jim, it was my pleasure. Thank you for the time. And, you know, I will tell you, we didn't talk about Virginia at all, but I'm fascinated by that race. I have a couple of friends that are pretty close to Terry McAuliffe. Actually, my younger sister used to work for him when he was chairman of the DNC. So we have a kind of a family connection to him. But it's interesting to see the dynamics play out there just from a, you know, political science geek perspective that I am.
Well, tell us what you think.
You know, I think that, you know, it's going to be tight. I think right now it's deadlocked. I think both sides are working out. I think are working hard rather. And I think, you know, it's going to be all about turnout. And I think the biggest dynamic is that, you know, most of the business community, you know, has really kind of gone back and supported the Republican Party, which was a different dynamic when then Governor McAuliffe was around the first time, right? You know, there was a wholesale movement of big business and to his side that really propelled that first stint in the governor's mansion. I think that's shifted, and it's changed the dynamics of this race from a money perspective. But, you know, from the people I've talked to, you know, they're working hard, they're energized, they understand they're dealing with a very spirited base on the Republican side. But I also think, you know, the Democratic base is pretty fired up and has a lot of motivation to do well. So I'm going to be watching that race as closely as I'm watching what's going on here in the Great Garden State.
Well, I think you're right. I think a lot of people said that, I guess it was 8 years ago when Governor McAuliffe first ran, he had a lot of the support of the business community. And what you were saying is that some of that may have changed in this race. But yeah, there is a lot of focus on that race. And it's much bigger and broader than just the state of Virginia. And polls are close and it's hard to know, what's going to happen. What is your sister doing these days?
You know, she is over at the Center for American Progress. You know, she's been there for a little while now. She's the director of communications over there. She actually left the DNC and went over there several years back and then left to do a stint in the Obama White House in his press shop. And then they welcomed her back and, you know, she's been there ever since. So they do a lot of great work and she loves it there.
Well, I think we have to have her on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Director of Communications. She'll be running the podcast before we're done with it.
And let me tell you, she is brilliant. She's the smart one in the family. So I think you would enjoy talking to her.
Coming from an entrepreneur like yourself, I think that's saying a lot. Yeah, we'd love to have her on. That'd be great. We can talk offline and get her on. And we're also going to have someone on from Virginia next week to talk about that race for our listeners. So we hope. So Jerry, thank you very much for coming on. And our listeners, remember you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can sign up for our email. It comes out on Mondays at thepoliticallife.com. And you'll get updates and things about the show. So we hope you have a great week. We hope you appreciate the update from New Jersey. Next week, we will have an update from Virginia. And then maybe the week after that, we will have the director of communications from Jerry's sister on the show. So anyways, everyone have a great week and we will see you next Monday.